Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo.
Man, good morning.
Good morning to you. I love, I'm running late today for those our listeners that are, on the live show this morning.
Never impacts the podcast, the podcast listeners.
Never impacts the podcast listeners at all, but of course we've got, we do the live show every Tuesday morning at 9 Central Time, and I'm catching a lot of heat because today I was tripping up. Pappy Joe is, give me some grief here. Matt Simmons is blaming the entire lateness of the world on me. So, it's just we're glad to be here. Just want everyone to know I was able to get fully dressed this morning and feed my dog.
And
all the essentials that had to take place before I came here.
And not just your dog. Now you need to understand something about JD.
Right.
He's a dog lover.
That's right.
And because of that, I feel like people abuse him to some extent. His house is consistently a zoo.
Consistently.
If there is no less than like 4 dogs at a time there,
yeah.
Something's off. I mean, yeah. Like you've got a ton of these dogs.
Well, I just own, one dog. Her name is Penny. She's an American Brittany Spaniel. And
she's
she
sweet.
Is the love of my heart. She is my delight. Like Baxter.
She looks about how I would expect the love of your life to
she's
look.
Got I mean I have yeah really she's got 4 legs and lots of hair, yeah. But she's orange, so our beard, my orange beard and her coat kind of matches her orange and white get up. She's very happy-go-lucky, so if I were in dog form, I think I would Penny would be pretty close to my personality.
Right,
it's kind of interesting. My roommate Scott, he actually got a red-bone coonhound. And so, we had a customer and friend of ours, Mike from Pearl, Mississippi, was over at the house one time, and he laid eyes on this dog, and he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, I bet the neighbors love you." Because if you know anything about hounds, particularly these coon hounds, I mean, there is no barking.
Is that right?
There's no barking. It's a bay. It's this deep, ridiculous, like,
It sounds like Swedish Chef.
Bark, no, that, exactly. When I start making fun of this dog because I get frustrated, I go, bork, bork, bork. Because it sounds like Swedish Chef. It's exactly. Insane. So, I try to occasionally smoke my pipe on the front porch, and I get ambitious, and I'm like, oh, I'll bring the dogs out to the front, put them on the porch and put the pen up so they won't get out, and they can kind of walk, sit on the porch with me while I relaxingly smoke my pipe. And then, you know, a cat walks across the yard. It's bork, 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 bork. You know, so and anyway, it's out of control. The neighbors, too, have a couple dogs. My friend Joseph, who's also a pipe smoker.
Yeah.
He, great friend of mine. And him and his wife, they have a couple of dogs. One is some type of Heeler mix, and the other is a Jack Russell Terrier, aptly named Moses.
Right.
And, you know, he, I think, also channels Moses. He's kind of like, you know, shoot first and aim later and, like, make very broad brush strokes and all this kind of stuff. And,
right on.
So he's fantastic. But, yeah, we have a lot of dogs around.
Man, it's crazy. Well, actually, you know, you're my litmus test with dogs. Because, of course, when you kept Gibbs for us for a weekend and you said you couldn't handle it, I'm like, this is a man that handles all these dogs. He juggles so many people's animals.
Did you
feel
a little validated?
I felt extremely validated. I was like, all right, Gibbs is not the dog for this household.
But that's good.
Here's the thing. I actually, this is kind of a short story before we jump into the episode today.
Yeah. We'll talk about pipes at some point.
Oh, at some point.
This is the American Kennel Club radio show this morning.
Exactly.
My pipe smoking is much enhanced by my dog.
I would say that's true of most dog owners / pipe smokers.
Yeah.
Terry Shepard. He's a big dog lover and pipe
absolutely.
Smoker.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I temporarily had a dog this week. I had a dog for a grand total of probably about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was during, you know, for those of you not in this area, but probably in the country, you know that we've had all this freezing rain and these cold storms coming.
Particularly
down
in the south, yeah.
And you know, I think having Gibbs, even though I only had him for a couple of months, it really kind of gave me a heart for dogs that I didn't expect to have. Definitely that I didn't have before. I
mean, yeah.
You knew me before then, and I was kind of like, well, you know, it's just an animal.
And you throw it out in the yard.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting there, and you know, I'm at home with my girl, and I see this dog running across, like, from house to house across the way.
Yeah.
And I'm feeding my little girl. She's in her high chair and everything. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking out the window watching this dog. Clearly, it has kind of a familiarity of the neighborhood, you know, like maybe I've seen somebody walking this dog at some point, but I'm not positive.
Right.
And so I open up the door.
It wasn't Gibbs, was it?
No, it wasn't Gibbs. But this is a big dog. And I open up the door and I clap my hands, and then the dog comes up because he's actually across the street, but he hears me clapping my hands. He comes up to the backyard.
Yeah.
Comes through the house. I dry him off because, I mean, it's freezing rain outside.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I don't have anything because when we got rid of Gibbs, we also got rid of all of the stuff. Like we gave the people that were taking him all of his, you know, his favorite stuff and his favorite toys and everything else.
Right.
So he'd be comfortable. And I had no way of like caring for this dog except for the fact that I dried it off. And, you know, my little daughter is like eating her peanut butter, just staring at me, kind of getting a kick out of this. And I cannot contain this thing. I mean, this guy, it had to be about twice the size of Gibbs.
Yeah.
And he was running around the house and everything else. And I'm like, oh man, what did I do? You know, and I'm trying to kind of calm the thing down. I look at its tags because it's got a collar.
Right.
And it's got just the tag that says that it's up to date on its fleas and whatnot.
Very important.
Yeah. But it doesn't have a name. It doesn't have any contact information or anything like that. So I did the next best thing, which was I took a picture, put it on Nextdoor.
Right.
I figure, look, I'm going to get this guy calmed down. I'm going to get him a blanket. And he's going to be my new dog because God wants me to have this dog. But I couldn't,
and then 3 minutes later.
Well, I couldn't do it with the kid, right? Like, you know, because I was trying to calm down the dog. This is a new environment for him and everything else.
Right.
And so, and she was about to go down for nap. I put her down for nap. Or no. I put the dog outside on the porch. Because I figure, you know, it's covering. He'll be fine for a couple of minutes. My cat, who's actually on the porch, is looking at me through the window like, no, what are you doing
to me?
Of course, the cat goes flying out into the freezing rain.
So abusive.
I know. And anyway, the dog did not last couple of minutes it took for me to take my daughter to bed. Because by the time I put her down, I go out to check on the dog and it is gone.
Oh, he left.
He left.
Just, I mean, that quick.
That quick.
And wow, that's amazing.
I wanted to look around for him, but, you know, it's nap time, so you can't really leave, especially in that weather. But
yeah,
man.
Well, if he was taken care of, he probably knows the neighborhood pretty well. You know, that's the thing. I mean, these dogs, you've seen them where they even are able to track their owners across the country and stuff. Just crazy
Homeward
stuff,
bound, you know? Man. That's what that movie was all about.
But, I mean, seriously, that kind of stuff happens. Even during Katrina here in Mississippi, you know, you did not see in the debris of the hurricane. This is back in 2005. You know, wow, that's 10 years ago. But we had, you know, several of us, we were college students at the time, but myself and a bunch of friends, we went down there even on trips after the storm to kind of help relief stuff. And one of the odd things that you constantly heard from a lot of the recovery workers is you never saw pets. You never saw dead or, you know, harmed pets from the storm.
Is that right?
It's because they all knew how to get away before. They all were able to sense that something big time was
right.
happening. And then they got the heck out of Dodge. So it's something about, I mean, they pick up on pressure changes and all this stuff. And then they were like, man, I'm not staying next to the ocean.
Dude,
it's
survival instinct.
I'm getting up land. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Well, man, all that to say, let's talk about pipes.
Yeah, I'd like that.
this is although, you know what? That's what we're talking about. Like, there might be something to like a pipe smoking with your pet conversation at some point.
We could breach that subject.
I feel like we need like some feedback from that might be a pipe culture conversation.
It could be. I mean, one of the most relaxing things I ever do is, after I cut the grass and kind of worked, I do a lot of landscaping stuff. So in my yard, you know, we did everything and blowed and, you know, all this stuff and then mowed. And, you know, I sit on the porch, I drink a really cold, cheap beer, smoke my pipe and pet my dog Penny, and it's just very I feel very satisfied.
That's good. Budweiser would be very pleased.
Oh yeah.
All right, so today we're doing a pipes 101 episode.
So the
way that we do these, occasionally we tackle kind of entry-level questions. I never want to make fun of that and say like, oh, it's the noob or something like that, because the fact of the matter is everybody starts off somewhere, and when you have kind of this elitist mindset with any kind of specialty hobby, especially something like pipes and pipe tobacco, you push people away. And, you know, many of us have that kind of story where we got pushed away early on because, you know, we weren't greeted with the most welcoming educational type of way. And while most people get from the show overall that kind of education,
that's what we hope.
We like to occasionally get really kind of hyper specific in the Pipes 101. And so today we're talking about a terminology that is thrown around a lot when discussing pipes. But you may not, if you're a new pipe smoker or a new pipe collector, you may not know what it means. And that's grain.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll talk about the grain of the pipe. You'll actually hear us talk about the grain of the pipe.
That's right.
And so we kind of want to get into what does that mean? What is grain?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, and as an offshoot of that too, we'll discuss a little bit kind of, you know, the quality of grain and why it changes the value of a pipe and all that kind of thing. But grain, just like anything, when you cut the ring of a tree open, obviously you see rings. You see rings that have been growth rings that have occurred over the years as this tree has grown and matured. And you can even tell a lot from the tree because maybe on years that it got extra rain or the nutrients were really good or something, you've got grains that are really tight or bold or something like that. So there's things you can tell just from, you know, scientists actually go back thousands of years from looking at the grain of different plants, you know, and they can tell things like how much carbon dioxide was in the atmosphere.
Right.
You know, all these really interesting things just from analyzing the grain of a plant.
So grain I guess the question then is the grain the rings or like the material between the rings? What is the grain?
Well, that's actually a good question. I've always gone with the rings.
Okay. Yeah,
I've always gone with the rings. And if you think about it, it's always even the material in between the rings is even part of it too, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, because it just goes... some of that is real tight, some of it's a lot lighter, and some of it's darker. And so, you know, I think with the darkness, a lot of that is just very, very close, tight grains, which run across. But so basically, you know, when you're looking at a pipe, you've got a few different main categories of grain. And again, I'm looking at this Guildhall pipe that our friend Reborn up in Canada actually redid for Bo. Beautiful pipe, yeah. And, it's got a variety of grains. You've got some muddled kind of cross grain there, some bird's eye, a little straight grain, some flame grain, and it's all over the map. And all these terms have different, you know, obviously different meanings, but it's all based on, you know, which way the wood was growing. What direction, and then also the denseness and the quality of the piece of wood that you have.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
So when you're kind of looking at briar, and this might be a good question for a pipe carver, but when you're looking at briar, is there like a set direction that you want to get a cut from in order to get that ideal grain, or is it just kind of whatever you can get?
It's kind of, you know, it is whatever you can get, but the thing is you've got enthusiasts that go for specific types,
right?
Okay, which is kind of fascinating because, you know, traditionally everyone looks at a very straight grain pipe. And when we say straight grain, these are grains that are extremely tight, you know, that go typically up and down across kind of flanking the entire circumference of the bowl there. Real, real straight grains that run, you know, vertically and are very tight. That, you know, to a vintage and, you know, long-term pipe smoker, that is something that, you know, a lot of people are going to look at and say, that is the best grain. Like, that is the ultimate. If you had to open up, you know, a pipe encyclopedia and say, what is the best grain? That would be it. You know, and so you've got people that are enthusiasts about that. But that is not to discount, you know, and a lot of people even prefer things like Bird's Eye and straight and cross and muddled and flame grain. Bird's Eye is really fantastic because Bird's Eye, when you look at the side of your pipe and you see a lot of little swirls, like on this particular guild hall here, kind of flanking the bottom right part of this diamond shank on this bulldog, you've got lots of little swirls. And basically, you're seeing Bird's Eye there. Bird's Eye is the end of the grain, okay? So let's look at it. Let's think about it this way. You're looking, let's say you've got a bunch of spaghetti laying on your table, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And you're looking at it from the top of the table, and you see the lines of the spaghetti, okay?
Right.
Now let's pick up this pile of spaghetti in kind of a bundle and hold it this, like, you know, in front of you where you're looking at the end of the bundle.
Right.
That is the end of the spaghetti. That's your Bird's Eye.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so when you're looking at Bird's Eye, you're actually looking at the end of those straight and cross grains, which is really, really interesting. So, and a lot of people highly, highly covet that. Last night, I had the opportunity to smoke our friend Hinchos, who actually is from China but lives here in Jackson, real good friend of the show and the country squire. And Hinchos, a couple months ago, really hurt my feelings. Because he bought the most beautiful near-up pipe that has ever been in my shop.
Oh, man.
And it was, it's a gorgeous poker. It's one of his classic, I think, grade 3 or 4 pipes. It's just stunning. And I wanted this pipe so bad. And it was kind of sitting around the shop a little bit. And I was thinking, man, I really want to sell the pipe. But golly, I could really go for this pipe. And anyway, he came in one day and he was like, nope, got to have it. It's mine. And he bought it. And I was thankful for that, obviously, because we get to pay the bills and I get to,
you know,
eat and all that stuff, which is good. But, you know, Hinchos, actually last night we went and had a pint at a local bar. And he actually let me smoke that pipe. And he said it's one of the best pipes that he owns. And
nice.
it was just near it. But I say all this to say it's a poker. And I want you to visualize this poker, okay? You've got a poker, which is, you know, kind of a barrel-shaped chamber bowl there with a flat bottom. And so it sits upright. You know, it's a barrel shape with a flat bottom. The stem typically comes out a little up on the side.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, it almost always sits on its flat bottom. This particular poker is a perfect cylinder and sits flat, almost like this mug here. I mean, it's so incredibly perfectly cylindrical and round. It sits basically like this mug.
Dude, that's ideal.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
This pipe, this near-up, is all tight, straight grain all the way around.
Whoa.
Okay, so imagine looking, holding that bundle of spaghetti kind of in two hands where you're looking at it lengthwise.
Right.
Really, really tight. And then on the bottom of this near-up, very flat, high gloss bottom, you know, that Petter Jeppesen has done with this near-up, it's all extremely tight Bird's Eye. So it's literally a pipe that is just like that bundle of spaghetti.
Man.
Just gorgeous, yeah. And I mean, it smoked great. But, you know, you've also got things where a lot of times when the carver does that, you'll see flame and straight grain kind of going up the side of the bowl, flanking it, and then at the top of the bowl where they cut the bowl off to make the rim of the pipe, you'll see the Bird's Eye there as well, where the straight and flame grain is kind of ending there.
It seems like, and this might just be my ignorance, but kind of pulling from that spaghetti recipe, it seems like you would have to have some sort of combination of all, right? Like, it couldn't be, or is it possible to have like straight grain from every single angle?
Well, no. I mean, and that's what's fascinating. We've got a pipe in our shop right now made by Scott Klein, great American carver, and he's just really, I mean, exploded on the scene a few years ago and has got really high-grade stuff. But this Scott Klein pipe has, it's very simple. It's kind of an apple brandy type pipe, you know, kind of chubby stem. But all the way around on the pipe is incredible straight grain flanking both sides of the shank and then all the way around the side of the bowl. But when you've got that, you've got to understand that on the top of the shank, you know, so imagine on the sides of the shank, you've got really straight grain. On the top of the shank and the bottom of the shank, because that grain is so straight, even up and down the shank, it's all bird's eye. Right there. Now, on a lot of pipes too, you know, so you'll pick up a pipe and say, is it a straight grain pipe or a, you know, bird's eye or cross grain or whatever? A lot of pipes just have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll, so you'll buy, you know, a Savinelli or a Peterson, and maybe it's, you know, one of their kind of entry-level pipes or just a pipe that, you know, isn't particularly, you know, I mean, just kind of, I hate to say run-of-the-mill because, man, we love Savinellis and Petersons, but, you know, it's just one of these pipes that, like, you know, lots of folks have, and there's a, you know, it's not carved around any specific type of grain. It's just a standard shape that they have molds for, and they make many of every day.
Right.
You know, and that pipe may have just a lot of different types of grain. You know, it might have some grain that is flaming up. When we say flame, you know, you've got straight grain, but then you've got the flame that kind of swirls and goes, I mean, as you might imagine, flames going, tight grain that's following each other, but kind of in instead of straight patterns, more swirly. And then cross grain, which actually runs across the side of it from left to right, and typically, you know, isn't particularly straight unless it's a real high-end piece of briar.
Man,
so... Yeah.
So, of course, this is all extremely good information for the collector.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, for the smoker who's looking for a certain style of pipe. But is there a difference in how it smokes based on the grain?
That is the big question, right? And so a lot of people say, you know, what makes this pipe so expensive? Like, why? People look at this pipe and they'll say, why am I paying more for this pipe? Is it because of the grain? The answer is yes and no. It's fascinating because with grain is a function of the denseness and the quality of the growth in the briar, okay? So if you've got briar that is, and again, this is my opinion, you've got some other folks that, you know, will swear on some of our online communities and probably even some Country Squire Radio listeners that, you know, grain doesn't affect the smoke at all. And for some people, maybe that's true. In my mind, and, you know, typically, and maybe this is just because I'm correlating pipes that I have that do have really beautiful grain with more, you know, premium smoking capabilities, and that could be true. But typically, in my mind, and what I understand from other, you know, other pipe enthusiasts, is the grain is a function of the quality of the growth of the briar, okay? So if you're thinking about this briar has such pretty grain, it's so tight and dense that this briar was very healthy. It grew in very good conditions. It's very dense. And all that grain additionally allows that briar to breathe so much better and to dry out quicker.
Right.
Okay, so you're thinking like, okay, I've got this pipe. Think about the grain as the airways and the passageways through which this pipe breathes and dries and aerates itself and all these kind of things. So what you're doing there, with when you have briar that has all those extra passageways that are real tight and well-filtered and all this kind of thing, you've got a pipe that's going to smoke cooler and typically will probably last longer too.
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating. You know, you've got, that's kind of your idea. If you can think of those grains as passageways, the more you've got, the denser they are, probably, you know, the better smoking your pipe is going to be. Are those fighting words for some people? Probably. But that's my personal impression of it.
Man.
Yeah.
So. You know, it's interesting because when you come to the pipe, be it for a collector or a smoker, but I think probably it plays into, well, no, I mean, I think it depends. Yeah, it doesn't depend on what you're coming to. If you're coming to the pipe, you're coming for different reasons.
Yeah.
And when you buy a pipe, people buy pipes for different reasons. I think actually of, you know, how it might correlate with video games or like something like World of Warcraft. People go to that game for different reasons. Some people like the mathematics behind the game. Some people like the visuals. Some people like to get really into the characters and the story.
That's right.
And it's kind of similar with pipes. You might come into, you know, you might buy a pipe specifically seeking out grain as kind of your main thing.
That might be your thing.
It might be more of a certain shape that you're always after.
Absolutely.
I know with me, it's always more about what do I need this pipe for? Like,
right,
like
function.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, where can I see myself? You know, is this my fishing pipe, my reading pipe?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, my, you know, bad day pipe, my good day pipe, you know, and what is kind of the purpose behind it? And so historically for me, grain hasn't factored as much into it, especially because one of the reasons one of the things about the pipes that I like is I actually have learned to really appreciate rustication. Which
rustication, sandblasting. Right.
Yeah. And I know that's typically a little bit more, you know, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would assume that the smoother the pipe or the one that's kind of more showcasing the grain are going to be more of the higher end, whereas the rustication is typically there, and not always, but typically there to kind of cover up some imperfections in the briar.
And you've got some, you know, disagreement on that too. People like Dunhill say, you know, well, no, we take our premium grain, that briar that's nothing wrong with it, absolutely zero flaws, and we still sandblast those because that's some of our customers prefer a sandblasted pipe.
Yeah.
You know, is that true?
I like a sandblasted tie. Oh, is it true that,
I mean, is Dunhill taking a perfectly, you know, non-pitted pipe, you know, and something that's got zero flaws on it and then sandblasting it? I don't believe that. but that's not saying that a sandblasted pipe doesn't have value because some people prefer it. You know, so sandblasting is kind of it's this interesting mixed blessing. It's like it allows you to take a pipe that may have some type of flaw and make it gorgeous. And so you still get use out of this briar, and then some people prefer it. So it's just kind of tomato type thing. One other thing I'll mention about grain, which really only is showcased in sandblasting, and this is ring grain. Ring grain is different from all the others. And a lot of pipe smokers, when they're looking at a pipe, they won't even notice it because it's so subtle. Particularly if it's a smooth pipe. If it's a smooth finished pipe, or if it's been rusticated heavily in a way that doesn't bring out the ring grain. But ring grain is actually the grain that kind of, if you're looking very closely at a pipe, let me see if this pipe has it, Bo. Wow, this pipe actually has beautiful straight and flame grain.
That was my first ever pipe.
Yeah, that's pretty. This doesn't have a lot of ring grain. But ring grain, if you can imagine, you're sitting here looking at your pipe, and you see all the very visible grains that run maybe up and down or kind of swirling or, you know, bird's eye or whatever. Ring grain is actually the growth rate of the pipe, of the briar, and it looks more like waves kind of coming in and out. You can see subtle, it's hard to explain, you can see subtle little lines that kind of run left to right through the extent of the briar.
Okay.
Okay, and it's extremely subtle for the new pipe smoker to see this kind of thing. Where it stands out is when you sandblast a pipe, and man, is it gorgeous. And so some people that love those sandblasted pipes really, really covet very tight, you know, ring grain like that. What you'll see is, as you know, when you think about sandblasting, what sandblasting is you're putting this piece of briar inside some kind of container, and you're literally blowing particles at it to make the softer material on your briar go away.
Yeah.
You're etching away at the, you know, imagine kind of, you know, wear from, you know, a river running through a creek or whatever on the side, like it kind of the soft, easy to remove material goes away.
Right.
So, you know, typically they'll use little glass beads or something and blow at this pipe. But what happens is these rings are very pronounced in that. They're harder. And so what you see is a pipe that has very tight rings going around it, which is fascinating. If it's hard to visualize on a podcast, get on the old interwebs when you get a chance, and Google ring grain and some sandblasted pipes, and you'll be very impressed with what you see.
And we'll be sure to post some pictures to Facebook.
Absolutely,
and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, our good friends at Rocks Pipes here in Jackson, John Michael and Two. These are two guys that they are obsessed with ring grain. When they see pipes, I've even seen them buy new pipes, maybe that are cheaper, where the ring grain was just completely ignored. If it's a smooth pipe, and they'll turn around and sandblast it just to get that beautiful ring grain. Yeah, because it's just so pretty. So anyway, all these things are something to think about. For the novice pipe smoker, you'll look at a pipe, and a lot of times you just say, "Oh wow, that's really pretty." And you may find a correlation there in the quality of the grain. You know, you might notice after you determine that it's pretty, well, maybe it's because it's got this really straight, tight grain, or maybe because the bird's eyes are very close and kind of swirly and make a really interesting pattern. And, you know, for a lot of grain geeks, that's just kind of a thing. Are you paying for a pipe that, you know, a pipe that has really good grain? Are you paying for a pipe that probably will smoke better? In my opinion, probably you are. Are you paying for a prettier pipe? Yeah, yeah, you are.
A lot of fighting words out there.
It's a work of art.
Plus, you challenged Dunhill. I can't wait to get those emails.
Oh, they're, man, give me a break. Bring it. Bring it, Dunhill.
I mean, hey,
invite. We love Dunhills, but I mean, come on.
Invite us to the headquarters. Prove us wrong, right?
Oh, no, absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah. Roll out the red carpet. White spot, baby. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Pipe question of the week.
All right.
By the way, we've already started some rumblings.
Oh, did we now?
Because of my gauntlet throwing down.
Oh, yeah.
Pappy Joe actually says, yes, some people prefer sandblasted pipes, as we discussed, but he also says that some of the best sandblasted pipes are made from unblemished briar.
All right.
I'd like to see a beautiful piece of straight grain briar that Dunhill then takes and puts in a container and blows glass at. That's just me. I don't know.
Hey now. I love, if what you're saying is that it smokes better if it's a better grain pipe,
yeah,
then you know, it would make some sense to, because I like rusticated pipes.
No, people like,
I've got like,
there's some kind of middle ground here. Like, I mean, I think you can take a beautiful piece of wood that has very good grain almost the entire way around it and sandblast it. But if it's got one little speck, that's the one they put in the sandblast pipe.
I don't know.
Pappy Joe's going to kill me. Also, Deacon Brett Heinzer, it's Henniser, isn't it? Deacon Brett Henniser, he tweets in, your pipe is not just an inanimate object. It's a living, breathing friend. Knowing that just makes it better. Wow.
That's great.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mike Flucher writes in, and Mike, you know, we love him. He's one of our
love
great
Mike.
Listeners.
Yep.
He writes in and says, "Hey guys, I got a question. I know that Second Breakfast is a good tobacco with a good maple flavor, but could you recommend any other tobaccos with a solid maple flavor? I think that it's a much more distinct flavor that I can find, and it goes unnoticed when compared to other popular tastes." Oh man, that is so true, because I love the maple flavor.
Man, that's a great question. And actually,
be it tobacco or donuts, I'm all about maple.
Oh yeah, those maple glazed donuts. That's right.
Amazing.
I always forget about those.
Can't eat them right now, but
yeah. Hold on 1 second. I am gonna find there's a tobacco I'm thinking of that I...
What'd you find?
And I found the tobacco that we're discussing, McClelland Town Topic. We've had it in our shop before. I have never tried it. TobaccoReviews.com describes it as a delightful, fragrant, in the room, soft on the palate. This smooth blend has long-lasting good taste, delicately maple-flavored, in a time-honored tradition for a smoke that's the talk of the town. So put on your top hat and... Smoke Town Topic. Yeah, it's a coarse cut, comes in a 50-gram tin. It probably comes in a 100-gram tin as well. But anyway, yeah, check that out. We have had that in our shop before. I know there's some folks that enjoy that. But I'd probably point you towards that for a good maple-flavored tobacco.
I have to check that out. I do love the maple flavor.
Yeah.
And Second
Breakfast,
too.
It's different, you know. And molasses, too, is another tobacco kind of flavor that a lot of people seek. We've got... You know, a few tobaccos at our shop, maybe Lancaster, maybe Chesapeake. Some people get molasses there, but you've kind of, you know, those real earthy, kind of old school sweet flavors that you think of like vintage candies being made of. A lot of times you'll see those that people hunt. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you're always great about sending in some great pipe questions. And hey, if you've got a pipe question, send it in. CSR@podastery.com.
Hey, one more. Reborn actually tweets in. This is at Reborn Pipes, which you'd be well advised to follow. But he says,
absolutely.
Also, Cornell and Deal Autumn Evening has a good maple flavor as well. So thanks for that. I'm not a big Autumn Evening fan. Nothing against Cornell and Deal. They're one of my favorite tobacco companies. But Autumn Evening, he says, does have a good maple flavor.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire questions come in from listener Peter Stewart, who asks, lighter or matches?
Matches.
Yeah, I'm a matches guy as well.
Yeah, just quickly, I get such, it's not even a snob thing. I can keep my pipe lit better with a match than I do with a lighter.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's a real fancy butane lighter or, you know, something that's a Corona Old Boy or whatever. I just get a better light with a match. I can be much more patient with it and direct the flame exactly where I need to go and take time, and I get a better light. That's just me.
Yeah, for me, it's about control. I think the match gives me more control overall, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, port or wine?
Wine. I have to go with wine. I love port because we use it at our church for communion.
Oh, do you really?
And it makes my belly feel really warm and sweet, which is kind of nice.
Well, that's good.
But I on a regular basis, I have to go with wine.
Yeah, I got to say wine too. The first time I actually even became aware of port, I was at a party. It was like a wedding party for a buddy of mine. And
yeah.
We were all sitting around, and his dad, who's kind of hosting, he looked at me. He's like, "Hey, you want some port?
You want a glass of port?"
And I thought he said pork, and I was like, I could eat. He's like, no. And he comes back out and he brings in, brings this bottle. I was like, what is this? And so he pours it in little port glasses.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, what is this? A glass of wine for ants.
Delicate thimble full of liquid.
Exactly. So definitely wine for me.
Yep.
Briar or peach wood?
I have to go with briar. You know, peach wood, you begin seeing some of that now. I'm not as familiar with it, to be honest with you, but I got to go with briar.
I want to try peach wood. I didn't even know that was a thing. So we got to dedicate an episode to researching that right
there.
Might
taste like peaches.
Good. Filter or no filter?
No filter.
I am a filter guy.
Yep.
It's a mental thing.
You like the Savinellis that have the balsa filters sometimes. You know, I've tried filters on all my Savinellis. I take them out and put the converter in there, and that does me right. Most of it for me is just being lazy.
That'll work. That'll fly. And then last but not least, kangaroos or koalas?
That's not fair. You don't have to pick between those.
Well,
you get both.
It depends on the context. Are we talking about roasting them?
What?
I'm just kidding. I love dogs now, though.
Okay, but kangaroos have pouches.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I don't think koalas have pouches.
I think koalas have pouches too.
Whichever one has a pouch, that's the one. This is something that can give birth to a child, and then the child crawls up literally inside of the mama, and then continues to grow. That's insane.
According to Google, they both have pouches. So,
all right. Well, I guess a kangaroo because it can jump higher.
I mean, kangaroo, I feel, is a bit more iconic.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, we just had the wine question, which, of course, reminds me of Yellowtail. And although I'm not a big Yellowtail fan, I'm going to go with kangaroos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's my logic there. Well, excellent. We love getting quick fire questions in from you guys. So go ahead and send them in. CSRpotastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, I love this. We got an email in from listener Charlie. He says, JD and Bo, I love the show and it has been increasingly beneficial to me on my journey on the tobacco road. I am part of a new forum and hope you guys might check it out someday. In less than a week, we have gained about 66 members.
That's great.
It's a very recent thread. In a very recent thread, I posted you guys a link. And this is pretty cool. It's actually called The Political Pipe. And so, you know, we've talked about before about the fact that the pipe can be a great equalizer.
Yeah.
And it's important to kind of, you know, take that brotherhood of the briar in all various facets of life,
including
the political realm. So I'm a little intrigued by this. I think I probably might, hover around the forum from time to time rather than actually jump in, mostly because I'm a talker. I'm not a writer.
Yeah.
But who knows? I might jump in there from time to time.
That'd be great. Man, thanks for sharing. And Charlie, thanks for writing in. That's great.
Politicalpipe.com.
Thepoliticalpipe.com. That's fantastic. We've got some other guys on different forums as well. Recently, we've had just a lot of connection with the Christian Pipe Smokers Forum.
Mm.
And the next one comes in from Gary. He says, guys, I discovered your podcast via Christian Pipe Smokers member John Michael George, who does our local Rocks Pipes here in Jackson. I downloaded all your available podcasts to my phone. Currently, I'm working my way through all your older ones to get caught up. I work for a biotech company here in the East Coast doing quality assurance documentation. I don't know what that is, but it sounds impressive.
I have no idea.
There is a lot of drudgery type work in this position, and I would keep my mind occupied listening to talk radio, but I don't like the mood it caused and have found your podcast to be a blessing. Been smoking a pipe for 25 years, used to work in a tobacco shop as the pipe guy. Married to a great Mississippi girl,
woo!
A Mississippi State grad.
Aww.
Man, that's awesome. does she have a sister? I enjoyed the mixture of pipe info and Christian banter that you have throughout the show. I'll continue listening as long as you keep broadcasting. Thanks again, Gary Sains.
Gary, man, we really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, Gary. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, we really do appreciate it. And seriously, if you know any other Mississippi State grads that are attractive females, let me know.
Look,
the Christian Pipe Smokers Forum is great. I mean,
yeah.
That's obviously there's kind of a resurgence in some of us that occasionally feel like we channel C.S. Lewis. anyway, check it out if you're not familiar with that.
And you said something in that email too that just kind of warms my heart a little bit. Part of what I try to do with Podastery overall, and one of the reasons why I really wanted to kind of start bringing this content to the airwaves, is because I used to, in your standpoint, I used to listen to talk radio going to and from work and that sort of thing, and it used to always put me in such a bad mood because the internet always gets a bad rap for so many attitudes that are out there and so much negativity. But dude, radio, there's so much negativity in radio, and I just wanted to start producing audio content that was positive. And so anyway, that really makes me feel good that you're enjoying the show and getting kind of some of those positive vibes. Well, man, I know we're pushing it on time, but in all fairness, you were the one that came in 10 minutes late.
I did, and man, this was fun.
It was
a good time. I might be at the shop at 10:01 today. It depends on if I get pulled over on the way to work or not.
Oh, snap, man. Well, let's get you out of the door. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide.
They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.